Once again, good morning and welcome to our Family Fellowship Sunday. Glad you're here. If any of the kids are out there, if you'd like to come on up, I'm going to tell the Bible story this morning. And then Skinny Lenny's going to come up and he's going to take us a little bit deeper and give us some practical ways to apply that to our life. So kids, if you want to come on up, have a seat on the steps, and I'm going to tell you the Bible story. Now, it's probably one that you've heard a lot of. It's called Seven Ducks in Muddy Water, okay? And if you're wondering, I've never heard that Bible story. Well, it's in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. I'm going to sit down here with you guys if y'all want to just turn around and look at me. And great job this morning leading worship and with the communion, yes. And for the Wesley family with their communion made. All right. In our Bible story today, there'll be a few words that I'm going to say that you probably don't know the meaning of. And so I'm going to give you a few definitions to help us get through this Bible story. The first one is leprosy. Okay, leprosy is a word used in the Bible for several kinds of skin diseases. If a person had a type of leprosy that could infect others, he couldn't live at home anymore. In fact, if he was out and somebody was walking near him, he would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," just so that they would know that he had this type of leprosy. Naaman, in our Bible story today, he had leprosy, but he continued to work around people. He was a commander of the king's army of Aram. And that's our second word, Aram. Aram is a country north of Israel, and it's also known as Syria. We probably know that today. And sometimes the Syrians were friendly with the Israelites, and sometimes they were fighting with each other, with them. And the third one is the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is the longest and most important river in Israel. And the distance of the Jordan River, if you started from where it began into where it ended, it's only like 70 miles if you went straight. But if you got in a boat and followed the Jordan River, it was so crooked, they would end up being closer to 200 miles by the time you got to the end. And the Jordan River is also a very muddy river, okay? The fourth one is another one of our main characters. His name is Elisha, okay? Elisha was a prophet that followed Elijah. You know, Elijah is the one that went to heaven in a chariot of fire. And Elisha was the prophet that followed after him. And God gave Elisha a double portion of Elijah's power. And then the last word that I don't need you to listen for is ducks, okay? Now, the Bible doesn't mention the word duck at all, not either the wild kind or the domesticated kind that live on farms. So you're going to have to listen to our Bible story to see where ducks come into our story, all right? All right. The story starts, it says, Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. The king of Syria respected Naaman, and Naaman was very good at what he did. He led the Syrian army to attack the cities of Israel, and they took things from the city, and they even took people to be slaves in Syria. But Naaman, again, had leprosy, and he was sick, and we all know that leprosy was a very serious skin disease. And one of the Israelites who was captured to be a slave was a little girl. And she was served Naaman's wife in Syria. And the slave girl saw that Naaman was sick, and she wanted him to be treated. She said, "A prophet in Samaria could heal Naaman," she told Naaman's wife. And Samaria is a city in Israel, a long way from where they were. And Naaman heard what the little girl said, and he went to talk to the king of Syria. The king of Syria agreed to send Naaman with a letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease." But when the king of Israel read the letter, he was upset. He said, "Am I God? Do I have the power to give life and take it away? Why does this man think I can cure a skin disease?" The king of Israel could not heal Naaman. The power to heal can only come from God. Now Elisha the prophet heard the king of Israel and that he was very upset, and he called Naaman to his house. So Naaman went to Elisha's house and stood at the door. He knocked, and he was ready to be healed. But what happened next was not what Naaman expected. Elisha didn't come to the door. Elisha sent a messenger. And the messenger told Naaman, says, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Wash in the river? If Naaman wanted to wash in the river, he could have done that back home, where the rivers are much cleaner than the Jordan. And he traveled all the way to Samaria for nothing. Naaman was angry, and he had hoped Elisha would call on the name of the Lord to wave his hand over him and heal Naaman of his skin disease, but that's not what happened. What he heard was, go duck yourself 7 times in the muddy river water. Naaman started to leave, but his servants encouraged him to do what Elisha said. The servant asked Naaman, now if Elisha would have told you to go and do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah, exactly. So Naaman kind of ducked his head and said, okay. So he went to the Jordan River. He ducked himself in the muddy river, not once, not twice, but 7 times. 7 times he ducked himself in the muddy Jordan River. Then after the 7th time, Naaman's skin was healed. It looked as good as the skin of a young child. Naaman and all the people with him went to Elisha, and they told Elisha, says, I know that the God of Israel is the one true God. Naaman said it, and he thanked Elisha and offered him a gift of gold, silver, and clothing. But Elisha would not take the gift, so Naaman went back home. Naaman wasn't expecting what happened. It didn't make sense to him. Go down and duck yourself in muddy water? That doesn't make sense. But how many times are we told by Jesus to do things that don't make sense? But, yeah, when somebody wrongs us, and we're to do what? Forgive them. Not once, not twice, but how many times?
Seven.
7 times 70. Yeah, we're told to do that. That doesn't make sense. Somebody hurts us, and we're supposed to forgive them? And what about the time he tells us we should love our enemies? That's hard to do, loving our enemies. That doesn't make sense. But what makes sense is our obedience to God. So Skinny Lenny's going to come up and he's going to fill us in and take us a little bit deeper and give us some practical ways to apply this story to our life. All right? Yeah, you can go back to your seat. Yeah. You might have to get you to help me up.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Skinny Lenny, that's what I am. Yeah, I hope I stay that way too. When I was a kid, I watched this movie, I don't know how many times, 5, 6, 7 times, probably somewhere through elementary, through my school years. It was called The 7 Faces of Dr. Lau. Tony Randall was the character in it. He wasn't just the main character, but he played 7 different characters in this traveling circus show. Anybody ever see it? Okay, so different ones saw it. Well, I'm calling this The 7 Faces of Naaman, or 7 ducks in a muddy water. Either way we call it. The story is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, and Billy has told you the story, so I'm not going to go through and tell the story necessarily, but what I want to do is kind of highlight some of the things out of that story and maybe find some practical bits of wisdom for us. First off, face number one for Naaman was the Captain Naaman. He is Captain Naaman, captain of the armies of Syria, or Aram. It tells us that he was highly respected by his master, the king of Aram. Another thing it tells us in verse 1 that I think gets overlooked is that the Lord granted him victory. He wasn't an Israeli army. This was the Syrians who often fought the Israelites, but somehow the Lord granted him victory. It tells us a little bit about he was just respected. Even throughout the story, you can tell he apparently was kind of loved by others. And then it tells us he was a leper. He had this skin disease that more than likely wouldn't go away, at least for a long time, maybe never. I've learned something. It doesn't matter how high the rank you are, how highly respected you are. If you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Sickness, illnesses, relationship problems, and even death will find us all at some point or another. Another face was desperate Naaman. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that he was desperate, but we can see signs of his desperation in this. When he finds out that he's got this leprosy, one of the things that happens is this young girl that lives with them, who was a slave girl from one of his raiding parties that they brought her back, is now serving this family. When she finds out he's got it, she mentions, oh, I wish he could be before the prophet in Israel. He could probably cure him. He was desperate enough to listen to this slave girl, desperate enough to go to the king of Aram, the Syrian king, and say, hey, let me go behind enemy lines to these foreigners that we've been invading. Let me travel over 100 miles to go find this prophet. I've learned that desperation often causes us to do things that we normally would not do. For the sake of our health, for the sake of a job, for the sake of a marriage. Sometimes we wait until we get too desperate to do anything about them. Then there's a third phase. Eventually, what Naaman does, and as we heard in the story, Naaman goes, travels the distance, eventually finds Elisha. But when he gets to where he's going to go, all of a sudden, arrogant Naaman comes out. I can imagine it now when he comes to the door and Elisha gives him the words through his messenger, through his servant, to tell him, go and wash, go duck yourself in the River Jordan. I'm guessing he's probably going, what? Don't you know who I am? I'm the commander of the king of Syria. I'm the ones that come invade you. Don't you have the dignity to at least come and talk to me yourself? And maybe, as Billy said, wave your hand over me? No. Pride gets in the way sometimes, does it not? He assumed it was going to be one way, and when it wasn't that one way, his arrogance got the best of him, which leads us to the next phase. Arrogant Naaman turned into angry Naaman, and he left and he went off in a rage. He pouted, sort of, is what he did. He sulked when he got angry. I'm not doing this. Some of you do that, don't you? Oh, I remember when I was a kid. I can't remember. I was upper elementary or early middle school, I think. Mom and Dad had promised that we were going to go to the park. I don't remember the details behind it, but plans changed, like they somehow do. But when the plans changed for me, I got mad. I remember going to my bedroom, and this sticks out to me still to this day, because this wasn't typically me. I can remember a couple of times when I did stuff, but I remember going back into my bedroom, trashing the room, throwing my sheets off, throwing things off the dressers, all over the place. It was a fit, is what I was doing. I was throwing a fit. You ever thrown a fit? Throwing a fit as an adult? We do that sometimes when our anger gets the best of us. And sometimes when we're angry, we sometimes need to just let the emotions die down a little bit. Let the emotions kind of simmer down. And I think that's a little bit what happened to Naaman. When his servants came to him and said, now Naaman, if he'd asked you to do some grandiose thing, go climb a mountain, pick a twig off this rare thing. You would probably have gone and done it, but because he tells you something simple, Naaman now is probably thinking a little bit better. That's what happens when emotions calm down in us. When the emotions are high, the arguments go back and forth, and we yell louder over each other, and we don't think clearly. Sometimes we have to let the emotions simmer down. He's thought it through, took their advice, and angry Naaman, now that he's calm and soothed, becomes obedient Naaman. Obedient Naaman travels the 15, 20 miles over to the Jordan River, and he dips 7 times into the muddy waters. 7 times. I've wondered why. You know, I don't know why. Some people will say, well, 7's a number in the Bible. Well, there's lots of numbers in the Bible that are used. I wonder maybe if it was, will he carry it through? Will he be obedient? Well, I've done a couple times, 3 times, nothing's happening. After the 7th time, it tells us that his skin has become just like a little kid's. Not back that tanned skin got starting to get wrinkles, but now it's like a young child. Naaman's healing was dependent upon his obedience. If he had not gone and dunked in the water in the Jordan River, he would have still been a leper. But just as it was dependent upon his obedience was not totally dependent upon his understanding. He still didn't get it, still didn't know why, but decided, okay, I will obey what Elisha says and I will go do it. Obedient Naaman, once he became obedient, was grateful. And we see a sign of his gratefulness is when he goes back to Elisha, what does he try to do? Give him some of the money that he brought. They had brought lots of money. It tells us there were 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. That's a lot of stuff to bring on a trip with you. It's a lot of money to pay for his healing, but he was desperate. When he brings it back to Elisha, in his gratefulness, he wants to do that. I get thinking, too, about us. How do we show gratitude? Oh, maybe sometimes by giving money. Maybe it's a thank you card. Maybe it's a hug we give somebody. Maybe it's a smile on our face. But here is Naaman willing to do something about it. Elisha wouldn't take it. So Naaman said, well, how about if I give some earth? Grateful Naaman eventually responds, and we see that he becomes repentant Naaman. Repentant Naaman says, you know what? I know there's no other God than the God of Israel. He's proven that to me. I have seen that. I want to take this dirt back with me because I don't want to sacrifice to any other God than to the God of Israel. And then he asks Elisha's forgiveness. If when I go to the temple of Rimmon with the king, will you please forgive? Because I don't want to be sacrificing to that God, but I will have to do so on behalf of the king to be in there. There's a change of heart with Naaman. I've learned this a little bit about repentance. Repentance isn't always just saying sorry, it's doing something about it. So, we've got Captain Naaman, who became desperate Naaman. In the midst of this was arrogant Naaman, which led to angry Naaman, who finally became obedient Naaman, and in his obedience became grateful Naaman, and we saw that he was repentant Naaman. What are some of the takeaways that we can take away from this in the story and the life of Naaman, who once was a leper? First, Naaman was healed in his body from his leprosy. Doctors can heal with what they're given. God has designed our bodies to repair themselves, but miraculously, only God can heal bodies. But nobody else can do anything about sin. Only God can heal us from the inside out. Number two, we often find ourselves desperate, and desperate things and desperate times will lead us to actions. May your desperation always take you to God. Because sometimes in our desperation, we don't always go the good route. But may you in your desperation, may you allow it to take you to God. Number three, true repentance is not just about saying, I'm sorry. We can say, I'm sorry, but until we do something about it, it's not truly true repentance. God calls us to repent from the very things that separate us from Him, change our ways to go a different direction. Number four, our salvation, our healing from sin, is partly dependent upon our obedience. Now, for sure, Jesus does the heavy lifting. We have a cross that reminds us that Jesus went to great extremes to take away our sin. But forgiveness isn't applied until we accept that gift, until we allow God to come in and change us, until we do the things that it tells us to do, to be repentant, to call on His name, to confess, to be obedient, to be baptized. All of these things are part of what we do in our response, in our obedience, to allow the forgiveness of Jesus to apply to us. And fifth, that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to come to Him in our obedience, in our faith, in our changing our ways, going the direction that He calls us to go. God calls us. In fact, here's one of those, you know, as Billy was talking with the kids, sometimes God calls us to do things that we don't always understand. I look at baptism sometimes as one of those things people go, do we really got to do that? Maybe part of it is because we don't always understand it, don't understand why. All I know is that here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. It's not something magical in water. You know, Naaman's trying to figure out, what in the world? Why do I got to go over the Jordan River? That don't make sense. What does it matter if I go up here and dunked in this water? I just know God says that's what we do. Peter will say, now baptism saves you not because it's removing dirt from your skin. It has to do with clean conscience from the resurrection, through the resurrection of Jesus. And there's this idea of washing away of sins as, and maybe it's more for us, a reminder for us that we know that. So in your obedience of God, even when you don't understand some of those things, may you just be remembering this. Even when I don't understand, I just will obey. For you see, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Today, we have been the Washington Avenue Christian Church family gathering together as the whole body of Christ, young and old. We don't always do this because we kind of go our separate ways into our different classes and different age groups. But we are a body all together, learning from each other, teaching one another, reminding each other that we all are a part of this together. And we'll do this periodically. Ever so often, we'll gather together in this. And so as we close out today, I want you to remember the not only the seven ducks in the muddy water or the seven faces of Naaman, but I want you to remember some of these takeaways. Only God can heal sin. May your desperation lead you to him. True repentance is when we do something about it. We're all partly responsible for our salvation, of our part to play in it. Jesus did the heavy lifting, and that's what he calls you to do. Today we close out as Rick will come, and he's going to pray for us as a family. He's going to pray for our families too. Let's pray.
I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, please. I wanted just a big shout out this morning for the preparation that has gone into this service. It was pretty special. Thank you for everybody that had a hand in that. So I'm going to dismiss this morning in prayer. Almighty Father, Lord, and our God, we thank you for the gift of the church and the hope that we share through it. Come today, God, to lift our thankful hearts for your blessing upon your church and our church family. And you have given us a gift of faith, the opportunity to come together as a body of believers who share a common love for you. We ask that your blessings continue to flow over us. We lift up our pastors, our teachers, all the members here that you have placed in a position of service and leadership. God, thank you that they have followed this calling. I thank you for their hearts of service, their desire to love well each member of your church. Continue, God, to give them wisdom and willing hearts and rest where needed. We ask for happiness and harmony for our families. God, may we serve as a shining example of your love for the people in each neighborhood, each community where we live. Ask God that you bless these families with protection, your guidance, and grow in their faith. God, we thank you for the young people that we have seen represented this morning. Grant them the inspiration they need, Father, to deepen their faith and to walk with you, to give them courage and perseverance to practice their faith daily. Father, we thank you for the parents, the grandparents, the families, the teachers, and the mentors who help them on their spiritual journey. We pray for your church here that will grow in faith and love for each other. Ask that you give us your wisdom, your grace, your compassion. May we be bold to speak out for justice and the truth, and motivated to live out our faith to positively impact a lost world. And may your Holy Spirit be a voice of unity to us. We ask all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be safe, be warm. Oh, what? Oh, yes, the donut charcuterie board, if you've not seen that this morning. Help yourself. Have a great day.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.